Let's pray, please. Father, as we move into your word this morning, may we hear from you, may we see you more clearly, may we be open to how you want us to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, over the series that we've been doing, we've spent a fair bit of time in the Old Testament looking back at the people of God before the first Christmas to find out what was Jesus coming into. What were those people waiting for without even realizing that Jesus was coming? So we looked at hope and we looked at peace, and last week we reflected on the gift of joy at Christmas. And this week, with love, I want to spend some time understanding a little bit more about how the people in the Old Testament understood God. And as they're waiting for God to move, what were they waiting for? What were they watching for? And to start with that, I want to look at a word. Now, the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, and I am not a Hebrew expert by any stretch of the imagination. But there's this Hebrew word, chesed. It's used 246 times in the Old Testament, and the vast majority of the times it's used, it's describing God's relationship to His people, God's heart towards His people. It's one of the most common attributes ascribed to God in the Old Testament, chesed. And it gets translated, there's no direct translation for this word into English, but it's translated a few different ways depending on the context and depending on which translation you're reading. Sometimes it's translated kindness. Sometimes it's translated as mercy. The King James often translates it as loving kindness, a word that we use all the time today. There's some newer translations. I like how they've chosen to translate it. They translate it as faithful love. Faithful love. Throughout the Old Testament, this idea of chesed, it's basically this powerful, faithful, enduring love that God has for His people. That's used over and over again, especially in the Psalms. It's a deep, powerful word for love that means more than the way we often use our word love. In fact, in Hebrew, there was different kinds of words for love, and some of them were used, I may say, I love my truck, something like that. And it's not an inaccurate use of the word love, but it's not a very deep kind of love, or I love this meal. And there are some Hebrew words that are used that kind of way. That is not chesed. There's other words that are used for more often like a sexual kind of love, and that is not chesed. This is something that is deep, 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 enduring love. And so this idea of faithful love, a love that is going to just endure and overwhelm all kinds of obstacles, that is chesed. And so that was a core part of how the people of Israel, as they're waiting for the Messiah, saw God and understood Him. It was that God was faithful. He had this deep, faithful love for them. And so in the midst of the silence between the prophets speaking and Jesus coming into the world, as they're waiting in that silence, waiting for the Messiah, a large part of what they're doing is they are waiting on this God who has shown Himself. He said He is this faithful lover, a God with this deep, faithful love. They're waiting for that God to prove it. They're saying, you've said this is who you are, and we are trusting in this Messiah. We are waiting, expecting that you are going to show that you are faithful, that you have this faithful love. I'm not going to unpack everything with chesed, with this faithful love this morning, but I want to look very quickly at three different pictures, three different places, three different ways where God's faithful love shows up His people in the Old Testament, and I believe they hold true for us this morning, and hopefully we'll be able to find some connection with that. Now, the first place that I'm going to look at this morning is in Lamentations chapter 3. In the book of Lamentations, it is a lament. It is a sorrow. It's an expression of grief by the prophet Jeremiah, because God's people have been taken away from the promised land. They've actually been taken away because they rebelled against God. God took them out of Egypt. He brought them away from slavery. He gave them a land. He set them up for success. They whined about all kinds of things, and God accommodated them, and they got the king they wanted, and it didn't go so well. And eventually, they just gave up on God. They said, you know what? These other things are more attractive. We are going to go after the other gods and the other ways of living because it's easier and it's more fun, they felt. And they turned away from God. They rebelled against Him. And as a result, they ended up being taken away from their land. And in this time of rebellion, and they felt they were being separated from all that God had promised to them, the prophet writes this book of Lamentations with this deep cries of pain. And in the midst of it, we find these words. In Lamentations 3, he says, "For people are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though He brings grief, He will show compassion. So great is His unfailing love." That's the chesed, that faithful love. "For He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to any human being." Even in the midst of their rebellion, their push back against God, their fighting, they're spitting in the face of the one who freed them from slavery, God says, I'm still reaching out to you who is fighting against me with this faithful love. And it doesn't look like it right now, and it doesn't feel like it right now, but my faithful love is extended towards you. I think those of us who are parents can resonate with that. When a child is pushing back and fighting and rebelling, and you've got to put boundaries up, and you've got to, there's got to be consequences to how they're acting, but it's coming from a place of deep love for them. And they might not feel it at that moment, but at the heart of their rebellion, your heart to them is more than anything, is deep, faithful love. In rebellion, God offers His faithful love, and He pursues reconciliation. Turn with me, if you would, if you have your Bible, to Psalm 23. This is another place where God's faithful love shows up. Many of you know this by memory, perhaps in the King James translation. I'm going to read it in the NIV. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Surely Your goodness and love, Your faithful love, Your chesed, will follow me all the days of my life. I had a professor in college who, he studied the Psalms a lot, and he used to picture this as two separate pictures within the same psalm. There's the nice, happy picture at the beginning where you're in the green pastures and the quiet waters. And then he said, you know, the psalmist sort of moves us from there into this place where it's the darkest valley, and there's a table in the presence of the enemies all around you. And he used to teach, you know, there's kind of these two pictures at play, until he met someone who was, he had actually been a soldier in Afghanistan. And he said, "I'm not sure there's two pictures at play there." As a soldier in Afghanistan, he'd celebrated a holiday there, and he discovered what it was like to have a table set before you and a place of quiet and peace, even in the midst of darkness and being surrounded by enemies. And he suggested that this picture of the shepherds and the green pastures and the quiet waters, that can happen even in the midst of torment and trauma and struggle all around you. When we have need, when we need safety, when we need protection, when we need provision, God extends His faithful love to us. His rod and staff comforting us. The table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. And we can lean into Him and trust in Him, even in the times of need, because His faithful love is present. One more psalm, Psalm 42. Psalm 42. This is written by some guys called the Sons of Korah. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs His love. At night, His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. This psalm, the psalmist is in deep agony. Some of the language here, my tears have been my food. My soul thirsts for God. And it's like the psalmist is trying to convince himself to hope. It says twice, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. They're trying to convince themselves to hope, but they're just filled with sorrow and anguish. But when you get to verse 8, in the midst of this pain, on the heels of the idea of waves and breakers sweeping over the person, you get, by day the Lord directs His love. That's His faithful love. At night His song is with me. In the midst of the sorrow, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the agony, it doesn't take it away, but God's faithful presence is there. He offers His faithful love. Each of these, whether it's the rebellion, whether it's in times of need, whether it's in times of sorrow, at the heart of God's faithful love, it's the idea of presence. That you might be trying to push God away, fight back, get rid of Him, and God stays with you despite the oppression, despite the objection. When you have these deep needs, God is there with you. When you're in deep agony and pain, God's presence is with you. That's the heart of God's faithful love. Present even when we're pushing God away, even when we're desperate and in need, and present in the midst of our deepest, greatest grief. That's faithful love. I think God has put that desire for that faithful love in the heart of each of us. We feel it when it's there. When someone is close to us and is with us and we are assured that, you know what, there's nothing that's going to remove this love. Some of us have felt that just in terms of our relationship with God, where things have been in such a good place that it almost makes us feel lighter at times because we can sense God's presence. There's a flip side to that longing, that ache for faithful love, and that's that we also feel it when it's not there. And when we've had that love and it's been taken away for whatever reason, we feel the ache, the longing, the emptiness when it's gone. And this time of year, this season, I think we feel it probably more acutely than most of the rest of the year. Because we have those times when we're able to gather with family, those people that we share this kind of love with, and we're present with them, we get to enjoy that love. But we're also more keenly aware of those with whom we've had that kind of love that aren't able to be there. Two sides of the same coin, the same thing that gives us this great just eagerness and excitement and joy, the same love that we feel for those that we are with, we feel a corresponding ache and depth of ache for those that are not there. And it's all a part of faithful love. When I say that I think God has put that in our hearts, I think it's a gift from God that we feel both of those, because we wouldn't feel one without the other. We wouldn't feel the ache if we were not also able to feel the deep, beautiful love. And I think it's important for us to know that God, as one who has this faithful love, feels the same ache. Jeremiah, who wrote the book of Lamentations, during that same time when Israel was pushing back against God and rebelling against God, God gave to him this message. These are God's words during that time. He said, "Is not Ephraim my dear son?" That's Israel. "Is not that my dear son, the child in whom I delight? But I often speak against him. I still remember him." And this is God's heart during that time. "Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I have great compassion for him," declares the Lord. That great compassion, that's the same word. That's the hased. That's the faithful love. And it leads God to have this deep yearning, this ache for his people. The same God who we see in Jesus at Lazarus' tomb. If you know the story, Lazarus was one of Jesus' best friends, and he died. And Jesus got news, and he went to the tomb, and Jesus was actually going to raise him from the dead in a matter of moments. But he didn't walk in and say, "It's okay, guys. Resurrection's going to happen. Everything's okay." He walked into the midst of the mourners, and in most translations, it's the shortest, but perhaps one of the most poignant verses in the Bible, where it just says, "Jesus wept." He entered into that heartache and heartbreak, and he felt it. I read this from a pastor that I follow. He shared this on social media this week. He said, "In the face of loss, Christians are called to grieve deeply and hope steadfastly. The two are not mutually exclusive." And sometimes we like to try and push people past the grieving part, but God is one who feels that faithful love and has put that love in our heart, doesn't ask us to push past it. He invites us to embrace that as a part of what it means to know his faithful love and to share it with others. I think because this is a part of God's experience, I agree with Dostoevsky when he said, "The darker the night, the brighter the stars. The deeper the grief, the closer one is to God." We've got a blue-lit Christmas tree and some blue decorations up this week. Blue is the color of sadness, of sorrow. And at Christmas, we like to be all happy and cheery at times, and sometimes we don't want to acknowledge that it's hard. For many of us, there might be someone not at the table with us this Christmas because of loss or because of a broken relationship. And this morning, we're going to take some time just to acknowledge that, to honor that, and to say it's because God has placed this in our heart, this deep love, that we feel the ache. And it's okay good to feel the ache, because without feeling that ache, we would not be able to feel the depth of love that we also feel this time of year. We hold these things in tension, and so we find ourselves heading to Christmas gatherings where we are laughing and crying, and it's good and right to do that. So what we're going to do this morning is we've got a number of candles up here. Nathaniel is going to come, and he's going to just play some instrumental carols, and we're going to take some time to give thanks for, to remember, to grieve over those that are not with us this Christmas, and just to give thanks for the faithful love of God in the midst of our sorrow. If you'd like to, at any point while he's playing, you can come on up and light a candle just in memory of someone that you're grieving this Christmas. It could be from this year, it could be from decades ago. You're welcome to come. And we thank you that you are love, and that we are known by you and can know you and can share that love with each other. In Jesus' name, amen.